Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I just thank you for all that you have done in this place today already. And Father, as we come now to your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll speak through me, that it'll not be about me, but it'll be all about you, and that people will know they've encountered you this off the lift. Basically, the culture is saying, this is how we do things here. And culture will always, always trump vision. Culture is more important than vision. It's more important than our mission. It's more important than our core values, etc. Culture is everything because everybody knows the culture of a certain place. For example, you might say that the staff in that particular shop are very helpful. That is the culture. Or you might say the attitude of the waiters or in the restaurant I went to yesterday was really bad. That is the culture of that restaurant. So everybody knows the place by their culture. Culture could be defined by the language and the vocabulary that is used. It could be the people. It could be the setting. How an organization produces what its products. But if the culture is not healthy, then everything else falls apart. Everything. Just imagine you went to a restaurant and the plate was dirty and you received your food on the plate and the plate was dirty. Let me tell you, the food is not the problem in that restaurant. The food is not the problem in that restaurant. You can have the best, you can be the best and everything, but if the culture of the organization is dirty, then people will not want what you have. And it's important that we don't confuse culture with vision and strategy. See, vision and strategy are all about your outcomes, your destination, where you are going, etc. But culture is a crucible in which vision, etc., either will grow and flourish or it will wilt away and die. If the culture in our church is healthy, then amazing things will happen. People will love to be there in that church. People grow as individuals. People will grow spiritually in that church. And suddenly that church becomes attractive to the community and more fully accomplishes its mission that it's trying to achieve. Culture is invisible, but it's so determinative. You can't see it, but it defines so much. A bad culture will constantly undermine an amazing mission, vision, and strategy. And it's often quoted that culture will eat strategy for breakfast. Think about it. Culture is the reason why you love shopping in certain shops and you don't like shopping in other shops. It's why you love some restaurants and you pass on others. It's all to do with the culture. And it's not just enough to know where we are going. We need to know who we're becoming along the way, because the culture determines who we are becoming. Every group, organization, or business develops a culture, this way of doing things together. And let me tell you, it happens either accidentally or it will happen deliberately. Either way, it will happen. You will develop a culture, good or bad. And that is why, here in Found Church, we put a lot of effort into ensuring that the culture here within Found Church is good. But we have to work hard at it. We can't just say we want the culture to be good and expect it to happen. We have to work hard at it. And when I say we, I mean everybody. Everybody, we have to work hard at the culture of Found Church to make it an attractive place where people will want to come. And one of the areas of culture that we want to ensure that we create in Found Church is a culture of honour. A culture of honour. You see, honour is a very, very strong biblical principle. And honour, the word honour is mentioned over 170 times in the Bible. But what does it actually mean to honour someone? Well, the dictionary says it is to regard with great respect. If you regard something or someone with great respect, you are honouring them. But I would add to that it means that you add value to people, that you value people and you credit them with worth. You see them as worth. But in our society today, dishonour is commonplace. You see it everywhere. And it's not too hard to see over the last few weeks where huge dishonour was happening as you witnessed the English football players being absolutely hammered everywhere because they missed a penalty. Dishonour is everywhere. Dishonour is everywhere. And if the wrong action takes place, it can harm a person's honour, whether that's through lying or cheating or doing something else. that's perceived as being dishonest. And the key word in there is perceived. Society today doesn't care if you've actually done it or not. If they perceive that you've done it, then they will go about dishonouring you without even checking the full facts. But the biblical view of honour is entirely different. Entirely different. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says this. It says, honour everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honour the emperor or honour the king. Honour everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honour the emperor. Honour everyone. See, there's no mention of honouring people based upon their social standing, based upon their achievements, or even the contribution they make to society. Just simply honour everyone. See, the Bible places a really high calling on honour. And the main passage I want to look at this morning is from Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to read from verse 9 through to verse 13. But I'm actually going to read from the ESV translation, so the words should be on the screen behind me if you want to follow along. So it's Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Amen. Real challenging stuff here from Paul. And Paul's words here in this chapter of Romans helps us greatly as we start to look to give honour to others. And there's three things I want to expand on from those few verses there. Firstly, love one another with brotherly affection. Love one another with brotherly affection. You see that in verse 10. Paul is reminding us to do that very thing. And the kind of love that is referred to here as brotherly love, or Philadelphia in the Greek, conveys the kind of love expressed towards other people as a fellow man. That kind of love. The love that you'd expect is expressed to other people as a fellow man. It is a love seeking the best interest of fellow Christians and counting them as much more significant than ourselves. Much more significant than ourselves. And this should be a distinguished trait for all Christians, because the God of whom we are serving is the author of love. See, when people look at us as Christians, this is what they should see. This is what we should see. And the New Testament is abound with expressions and teachings of brotherly love. This type of love, as mentioned in the Bible, means loving our brothers and sisters in Christ with selfless desires and humility. True brotherly love is not self-centered. Rather, it is sacrificial. 1 John 3:16 writes a very popular phrase about love. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. See, the laying down of a life for another is the true essence of brotherly love. And the Bible never ever points to seeking personal satisfaction and loving one another. It's always pursuing others before self. And Jesus modelled the perfect example of love which we ought to follow in carrying out brotherly love. And these words of Paul are so simple, but they're so profound. And as Christians, we are called to love one another and be devoted to each other as members of the same family. We should consider each other above our own interests and give precedence and honour to our brothers and sisters in Jesus. There should be no quarrel and our fractions between us, and we should consider how to build and encourage each other continually. And this is the image of God's family that we want to portray to the world: united, loving, caring, and devoted to one another. But sadly, over the years, and the church has done a real bad PR job on itself. Too often people see the church as fighting and disagreeing and bickering and pointing out the faults in other people. That's what the world sees, but instead it should be seeing a church and Christians that are united, that are loving, that are caring, and are devoted to one another. Secondly, we look to give honour to others more than we seek it from them. So we don't give honour so we receive it back. And I love the second part of verse 10 that I read earlier. Paul is given to us in this verse with both barrels. He does not miss the mark in this verse. He is saying, outdo one another in showing honour. Outdo one another. See, honouring others also honours the ongoing work of God in a person's life, even if we are not able to see it, because God is always working in a person's life. Honour means showing concern for one another above the circumstances that you find yourself in and above yourself. It is demonstrating care for others without counting the cost to you. So how can we honour others? Well, we could honour others with our words. Do your words demonstrate respect, care and concern? Or do your words shame the one you are speaking to, or even worse, speaking about? Honour others with your actions. Do you put others' needs above your own? It's hard. This is hard stuff. You can always be trying to do these things. Do your actions tell others you truly care and value them, even when it's inconvenient? Do they? I was saying in the previous service, I was getting messages yesterday when I was out for dinner with Elizabeth in a restaurant last night when my day off, people from church asking questions. And I'm tempted to ignore it, but then I'm thinking about this message today. And it doesn't compute when I ignore it, because it's not convenient for me. So I need to answer to show that I honour them. Can you imagine what society would be like if we tried to outdo one another with honour? Can you imagine what it would be like if we were speaking honour and showing honour to those all around us, and those around us were starting to do the same? Can you imagine what that would be like? What would that mean in your marriage? What if you were trying to outdo your spouse and showing honour, and they were trying to outdo you? I tell you, that would make for an amazing marriage. What if that took place here in Found Church? We will try to outdo each other with honour. What if that took place in your classroom or in your college or your university or even the place that you work? There'd be no strife, there'd be no shaming. All would feel valued and cared for. Okay, I would love to be in that place. And I'm sure you would as well. But how can you begin this process of honouring those who are around in your home, here in church, and your school, your college, your university, your workplace? How can you start showing honour to those people that you are most in relationship with? Well, let me tell you this morning, it all begins with you. And it begins with me. We're the ones that need to initiate that change to start showing honour. We don't wait for other people to show honour to us before we honour them. So it starts with you. Let's outdo each other in showing honour. Not only that, but we honour people regardless of the position and whether they deserve it or not. Regardless of the position and whether they deserve it or not, we will honour them. And I really like the definition that describes honouring as recognising the full worth of a person. See, it's easy to honour those who do great things, those people who are decent human beings, as some would say, who in our eyes deserve honour. It's easy to honour these people. But the problem with that attitude is that nowhere do we find in Scripture that we're to selectively choose who we have to honour. Nowhere. Nowhere. This goes for those who don't feel deserve it, who deserve it, or deserve to be honoured. We can't pick and choose. We are to regard all as valuable. No favourites. Because that's what God has done for us. God does not prefer Stephen Maguire over Michael Rollo or vice versa. We're equal. See, Jesus sacrificed himself for everyone, not just for those people who deserved it, for everyone. And God does not show partiality. And let me tell you, friends, neither should we. We are to demonstrate to others that they have value. All human beings were created to be the image bearers of God, every single one. And Genesis chapter 1 reminds us that we are made in his image and in his likeness. So honouring others honours this fact that we are made in his image and we are made in his likeness. And let me tell you, friends, being part of Found Church means that we give honour to people regardless of their position. Tell you, regardless of your position in Found Church, if you come here every Sunday and you sit in a seat and you enjoy the service and you go home again, we want to honour you the same as we honour the people who serve on this platform. We honour every single person, regardless of their position, regardless of what they do. We want to honour you for being here and being part of Found Church. Every single person, And I want to honour everybody this morning. Every single person watching online, seven at the back, seven on the platform, putting the chairs out, towing the trailer, sitting in a seat, I honour you today. Yes, I honour you today. And if my honour falls short, please tell me. And I'll repent and I want to honour you today. I'm telling you, every single person in this church is valuable. Every single person is valuable. And I want you to give yourself a clap, because you are worth it and you are worth honour. Every single person. Being part of Found Church means that we give value to those that the world ignores, to those the world treats as invisible or totally disregards. We still give honour to these people. In the same way, though, it means that we give honour to those people in positions of authority. And this is where it gets challenging for me when I start to unpack some of this stuff and I think about giving honour to those people in authority. Romans chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour." See, it's quite easy if you scroll down through your social media feeds on Facebook or Instagram for any more than a few minutes, you're sure to spot some kind of political rant. Or everywhere, against a political figure, you'll just see it everywhere. Social media has become the go-to place to mock and insult those in authority simply because we disagree with them. It's a go-to place. And while we as Christians, we can and we should feel strongly about different political and social issues, let me tell you, as Christians, we are called to respond to authority with respect. And I have been there so many times where I start typing that comment and then suddenly I just get that prompt and say, "Stephen, what are you doing? Who are you honouring with that comment? Not the person, not me, not God. Who are you honouring with that comment?" See, as Christians, rather than bucking the system, rather than sticking it to the man, insulting or talking back, the Bible says that we are to respond to authority with honour. And this starts with honouring God, who holds authority over the whole universe. And one of the chief ways we honour God is in the way we respond to those that he has put in authority over us. Whether we agree or disagree with our authorities, showing honour and respect is presented in the Bible as a non-negotiable. And showing honour and respect, we also honour and respect God, who, in his own wisdom and for his own purposes, ordains who will lead and who will follow. Bottom line is, we are meant to give honour, not to be thanked, because people are made in the image of God. Because God says they're worth it. We're meant to make an impact, not just a person. God did not make a mistake when he made you. Sure, we might have made some wrong decisions along the way. Who hasn't? But I'm telling you, we're still valuable to God. We are still valuable to God. God did not make junk. No one, and no one is worthless. Even the most unlovable person is loved by God. Secondly, Jesus died for everyone. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, "God paid a ransom to save you." And it goes on to say in verse 19, "He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ." And we might not place much value in certain people, but let me tell you, God does. God does. In fact, he says that every person you meet is worth dying for. Let that sink in for a minute. Every person that you meet, whether you see them on TV, whether they're the leader of a political party or whatever they're doing, they are worth dying for. Every single one of them. Thirdly, when we honour others, it shows that you know God. The Bible tells us that God is love, and if you know God, you'll fill your life with love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, "If a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he doesn't know God, for God is love." What a challenging verse that is. If a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he doesn't know God, for God is love. See, love always treats people with respect and honour. Fourthly, you get back whatever you give out. So if you're giving honour out, you will get honour back. It's the law of the harvest. It's a pure biblical law. Whatever goes around comes around, as some people might say. If you want to be respected, you must treat other people with respect. Galatians 6 and 7 says, a man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. So you may be wondering, how do I make the corrections needed to be that person of honour? How do I lead in teaching my family to walk in honour? What about my business? What about my workplace? How can I start to show honour in these places? And through the years, I've learned some important basic things that have really, really helped me to keep me on track. And that is not to say that I've a finished article yet, because I struggle. And it was a real struggle for me in preparing this message, because I was challenged so many times over and over and over again to be living in this culture of honour. Some of the things that helped me, and I hope they might help you as well. The first thing is to maintain a pure heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. See, the heart is the wellspring of life. What goes in always comes out. So I want to encourage you, make sure you have regular, good, life-building stuff coming in to your life. As soon as you start filling up with junk, then junk's going to come out again. That's what happens. Junk in, junk out. Life-building stuff in, life-building stuff out. Secondly, I want to encourage you to pray for those you are privileged to honour. In other words, you need to pray for everybody. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions and prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour. See, it is truly difficult to dishonour someone for whom you are genuinely praying for. If there's someone in your life who you struggle with to show honour to, now I want to encourage you to start praying for that person. Start praying for them every single day. And you will find as you are praying for them that it becomes really difficult for you then to start showing dishonour to that person. I've done it. I've had to do it. I've had to be that person who prays every day so that I would stop showing dishonour to a certain person. So pray for them. If you know there's people that you struggle with, pray for them. Pray for them every day and watch the changes happen in your life. Next, maintain a posture of humility. Philippians 2 verse 6 says, who, being in the very nature God, and he's talking about Jesus, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. See, Jesus humbled himself to the point of death, all because of the value or honour that he places on you and he places on me. And my hope is that as we lean and strive towards establishing this culture of honour here in Found Church, we establish it here in church and we start to establish it in our areas of influence, our true focus will be on honouring God. And it's my belief that as we do that, then the overflow will be an abundance of honour. And we'll not just honour within the church, but we'll start to give it away to everyone all around us. And as the band comes and we start to wrap this up, and I just want to say, as we start to look to develop a culture of honour and a dishonouring culture, we should look to give honour to others every single day, constantly. We should give honour with brotherly affection, which means we regard people as part of our own family and we treat them the same way we would treat people in our own family. We should give people honour more than we seek to receive honour back from other people. So we don't give honour to get honour. We give honour because the other person is worth that honour. That is why we give them honour, not so that we'll just get it back. And really importantly, we should give honour to people regardless of their position and whether they deserve it or not. We should give honour. Because let me tell you, friends, God honours you. God honours you enough and he sees that you are valuable enough to send his son to die for you. That is how valuable and that is how much God honours you. That is how much God honoured me. He was willing to send his son to die for us. And if that doesn't speak about honour, then I don't know what does. That is how much God honours you and loves you and respects you. He was willing to send Jesus to take your sin and all the stuff that you have done wrong. Because he died for you, he can forgive all of that mess and all of that stuff. He can restore you back into that relationship with him. How do I know that? It tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And let me tell you, the ungodly is you and me. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And let me tell you, friends, whilst we were still sinners, that is you and that is me. Regardless of your background, regardless of your past, regardless of...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.